ministry of the Bible Church of Brownsburg. The teacher for this morning's message is Fred Klein.
Probably heard it mentioned, and good morning. And you know, how about this? Before we start, let's pray. Let's do that too. We thank you, God, that we're able to be reminded from your word today. We thank you for hearing of folks in our church involved in yesterday, and obviously a hard circumstance with Jenny Klein's father passing away, but folks in the church were able to serve, and Pastor David brought the gospel, and we heard stories of the time leading up where Bill definitely was presented with the truth, time and time again, and Jenny faithfully served her father, and so we're thankful to have that example in our midst, and I just pray that we honor you this morning, that we can just have our focus on you and your word and how we can live that out. I pray that our hearts will be ready for worship, ready to hear your word preached. And may this time bring you glory, and may it be faithful to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So Fred had asked me, obviously, with circumstances and whatnot, to take on the family Bible hour this morning, so we will not be in Hebrews. So this will be a week away from Hebrews, but still certainly in God's Word. And so sometimes when you're thinking through things, okay, what do we do for 1 week? Topic came up just from reading and whatnot, that I'll read a passage from Acts 13, verses 21 and 22. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. After he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. So we read there in Acts 13, you also can see the same description in 1 Samuel 13 of David being a man after God's own heart. And sometimes I've read that, I've thought through that description of David being a man after God's heart, and okay, what does that really mean? What does that really look like? And so I hope we'll take our time this morning to explore that some, and see what the Bible means by that phrase, David being a man after God's heart. And so, and after all, when you think about that topic, at least I do sometimes in my head, the Bible is so detailed and it's so honest in sharing all the details about David, both flattering and very unflattering, that it can really make you question sometimes, what does this mean that David's a man after God's own heart? So we're going to talk about that today. And after all, couldn't you say that David is an adulterer, a deceiver, a murderer, and on and on and on? So how can that guy also be a man after God's heart? So we're going to work through two Psalms this morning to hopefully help us see what the Bible means when it says that David is a man after our heart. And we'll split it up and we'll figure that out in a minute. But Psalm 40 and Psalm 51 are both very helpful, so that's where we're going to camp out this morning. We'll take some time for all of us to study together and find some observations on David being a man after God's heart. And I hope this will be an encouraging time for us today in our study, that once you find more of your notes and your evidence of what you see being with David being a man after God's heart, that we'll share this on what we've observed, and then as the time passes and we get to the end, I'll do a little summary on some key points that I found as I had an opportunity to study this week. So I hope we'll find application both in what we see David and what the Bible means, and how we can then take some of that home for ourselves. So what I'd like to do is break us in half. So we'll figure that out. How about we do this table, the breaking in half will be two of one psalm and one of another. So we'll do this table and this table. We're going to take some time, I don't know, 10 minutes or so, and read through Psalm 40. And then you guys back here will take Psalm 51 at that table. And what I'd like to do, I'd put some couple sheets of notebook paper, a few pencils, appoint yourselves a scribe or two to make some notes or observations, both on the evidence of David being a man after God's heart, what you see that would help explain that a little bit. And then I'll wrap up near the end. But what I'll do to get us started is I'll read out loud both of those, and then we'll take some time together. Okay? So I'll start with Psalm 40. Both of these, they don't take too long, but they're just packed. So we'll read Psalm 40. I'll be reading from the NAS. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which you have done. And your thoughts toward us, there is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Sacrifice a meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened, burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips. O Lord, you know, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. You, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me, for evils beyond number have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me. But please, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. Let those be ashamed and humiliated together who seek my life to destroy it. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame, who say to me, aha, aha. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Now scooting over to Psalm 51, you guys better especially pay attention back here. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I will give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. By your favor, do good to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then young bulls will be offered on your altar. For passages just packed. So if we could, again, take 10 minutes or so, have a person or two make some notes on what you see, evidence or observations of David being a man after God's heart. Does that make sense overall? And then once you're done, we'll hear what you come up with, and we'll go from there. And I guess not once you're done, you won't be done. But anyway, just do your best. Why don't we start at this table, because you're closest, and Psalm 40. Christine was your scribe. All right. Well, then we can hear from some observer over here. So Psalm 40, one of those that David being a man after God's heart. What did you guys see? Thank you. You guys hit key words. And that is fun to see how God's word lines up. And you read one psalm and you read another psalm. And they're helpful in the way they work together. And they're helpful in how it does illustrate David and in the description that he has. And that's an awfully big description when you consider being a man after God's own heart. And so when you see the word salvation in here, when you see trust in the Lord, you see model of repentance, you see the gospel and obedience. Yeah, thank you. It's good when God's word fits like that. Thank you. Thank you. And so what I'm going to do is an overview of what I see, and it may be a bit on fast forward, of six characteristics that I saw as I took some time and studied this with David being a man after God's own heart that hopefully you'll see that line up with the observations that you guys found. I mean, after all, it's God's word. So that's what we're going to do, is discuss these six characteristics. So thank you. Number one, David demonstrated, I hope you see, desperation and hopelessness. Psalm, and it'll be going back and forth between both of what you guys studied, Psalm 40 and Psalm 51. Feel free to flip around or feel free just to stick with me. Psalm 40, verse 1. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. In this passage, it's not clear specifically the situation in Psalm 40 on why he's crying out to God here, but David gives God all the acknowledgement for rescuing him out of the pit of destruction. There's some good words here that really illustrate miry clay, or the ESV calls it a bog. A heart after God like David will recognize the all-knowing, all-ability of God and our utter dependence on him. This dependence is day by day. Psalm 51, 1 through 3, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. When he says his sin is ever before me, David knew his and all of our sin is enveloping our hearts. Our sin keeps us separate from the holiness of God until there's forgiveness and redemption. Speaking further on David, knowing his hopelessness remember what it says in verse 5 of Psalm 51. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. All humanity is sinful and separated from God from the point of conception. The fall of Adam had impact throughout human history. David's need for God's compassion, described in verse 1, has always existed. If anyone doubts the fact of being sinful from conception, parents know full well the self-centeredness of any toddler. Not one of us teaches our babies and our toddlers to be selfish and disobedient. They've got it pretty well figured out. The setting of Psalm 51 follows David and the sins associated with Bathsheba, but really, can our hearts be judged any differently? Point two, David, certainly point one, he is helpless. He is utterly dependent on God. Point two, David knows that God is the one who rescues. Psalm 40, verse 4 says, "How blessed is the man," and you guys both pointed this out, "who has made the Lord his trust." We won't have time. I was going to have a little discussion, but that is such a big word to meditate on and to dwell on, and so important from beginning and the end of God's word, because David trusted the Lord. That's just such a firm foundation. This is where I put my trust. You hear legal terms of people setting up a trust. It's just such a big term. It's not a flippant repeating after me kind of a prayer. It's putting your trust in God. David had no foundation. He had no hope other than what God did for him. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. That's God's trust. He was not a firstborn, nothing special. He was a shepherd. He was totally sinful, selfish, and separated from God. But God, in his compassion, mercy, and grace, was shown to David again and again. David trusted in the Lord. Don't undervalue that word trust. Maybe take some time and study more so, and that'll help illuminate that rock that was spoken of in verse 3. Notice who's doing the work in this, in both of these passages that you guys were looking through. He brought me up. He set my feet. He put a new song. Purge me with hyssop. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit, and on and on. The work and action are all initiated by the Lord. We are fully dependent upon the mercy and compassion of God Almighty, completely apart from our own merit and work. It's quite evident that a heart after God trusts that God is the one who rescues. Point three, David praises the Lord again and again. Psalm 43, verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. Isn't it amazing that God in his grace uses his people to tell about him and his glory to draw others to himself? He uses broken people like David. He uses broken people like you and me. Psalm 51, 14 through 15. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. What God has done is so good and powerful, David can't help but bring him praise and declare it. Think of, on a much smaller scale, good things that we learn about or experience. We're eager to tell others about it. This is what David does about his Lord. Psalm 40, verse 16, let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. David reflected on the salvation of the Lord. Notice that David magnified the Lord continually. A heart after God will love the salvation that he provides. And that love produces the fruit of praise. Point four, David rejected mindless religious duties. Make sure I'm clear on this. Going through the motions, which must have been common at the time, and could be considered the same today, won't please God or be one who reflects the heart of God. And we can all fall into that at times, that we go through the motions, whether it's when songs are on the screen, our minds are elsewhere, or we walk into church day to day. We can point our fingers at other people or other religions, so to speak, that they're going through the motions, but sometimes God's word can read us as well. Psalm 40, verse 6, sacrifice a meal offering you've not desired. My ears you've opened, burnt offering and sin offering you've not required. God introduced his law and the offerings to be acts of honor and a reminder for his people. There were offerings to provide cleansing for sins of God's people. When you read through the first several books of the Bible, they're very detailed. But an offering such as a firstborn lamb without blemish, messianic, that we're pointing to, like Fred brought up, to remind his people of what he did in rescuing them out of slavery, whether slavery out of Egypt or our enslavement to sin. But it was common for them to perform the acts without really recognizing what had been done for them by God. Psalm 51:16, for you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. A broken and contrite heart. A good measure of David's heart is reflected right here. David made a connection between the acts of service and the condition of his heart. And those are things you can think about how they apply today as well in our own worship. Point 5, David acknowledged that there is an ongoing battle with sin. We see that today as well. Psalm 40, verse 12, for evils beyond number have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me. David is just crying out there. That's that dependence that we have on God, just the situation that there is of sin. From the fall, from conception, as David said in Psalm 51, all hearts are sinful. All fall short of holiness. There's a war that we all wage with sin, and that battle will continue. We've all heard Jeremiah 17 in verse 9, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. There's a common thought that folks like us that go to a church that teaches and preaches the Bible, that we're the good people, that we make all the right choices and we're holier than thou, and oh, I can't come into that church. I'm all messed up. That's a very common thought that's out there. But David reminds us in the Psalms and by his own actions that the war with sin is real. The war with sin is in between these walls as it is out in the world. And it's present. And knowing this battle with sin is in all of us, we all need consistent reminders, whether it be from God's word, spending intent time, not mindless time, in God's word, in active involvement in a faithful church body, from hearing the word preached, from heartfelt prayer, and from real community. Yet you and I still will fall, and we'll be dependent on God and his grace and his compassion. Through Jesus' sacrifice, we're made to be in a right relationship with God Almighty through his grace and his mercy when we trust, like it says in Psalm 40, verse 4, when we repent from sin and believe in the work of Christ. Spiritual battles are discussed throughout the Bible. You could study further in places like Ephesians 6, or there's other places too. But there is spiritual warfare, there are spiritual battles, there is sin that encompasses our own hearts. Psalm 51, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you're justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." David shows a heart after God. It's consistent, reflecting a humility and an acknowledgement of our own sinful hearts. It's a battle with sin until we pass or until Christ comes back. You can look at the Apostle Paul and his letters to see the consistency of God's word regarding our hearts being in a war with sin. Paul himself had thorns. Last point is there's a fruit of a heart of, when you have a heart after God, there's a love and there's a delight that you see in these Psalms from David. Psalm 40, verse 8. And these are in stark contrast to when he talks about the offerings God doesn't desire. When we have a heart that trusts in the Lord, that delights in the Lord, the offerings that we have will be pleasing to God. And we're called to do those, but we're called to do those with a right heart. "I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." Psalm 40, 16. "Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, 'The Lord be magnified.'" Psalm 51, 12. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing heart." Psalm 51, 17. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." The words in these passages really illustrate a man after God's heart. Listen to these words again from what I just read. Delight, seek, joy, broken and contrite heart. These are the fruit of one who is trusting in the Lord. But they can't be faked. They can't be earned. These are descriptions that reflect one who knows who God is. Those descriptions recognize David's helplessness and sinfulness towards a holy God, one who's truly grateful for God and all his works and mercies. David is so grateful for the salvation God provides, and his heart and his actions are changed as a result of God rescuing him and putting him on solid ground. So grateful that he can't help but praise God and share that joy and that salvation with others. Any other comments, questions? Okay, how about we pray? God, thank you for time that we can dig into your word a little bit. It's comforting to know that the people that you highlight in the Bible, they are honest descriptions of sinners who fall short or in need of your grace and your mercy that you provide us without anything we've done to deserve. I'm thankful that we're able to have your word, that we here can study, we can worship, we can encourage freely. I pray we don't take that blessing for granted. And I just pray that our hearts are ready to worship this morning. I pray that we're ready to listen and hear your word preached. And I pray for joy. And if that needs restored, I pray you'll restore that, God, so that we can remember all you've done. And it's not something, like David said, that's hidden in our heart, but those around us can see the joy that only you provide through your salvation in Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Bible Church of Brownsburg. For more information, please visit our website at www.bcb.church or call 317-852-7475.